Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hey, welcome everybody. It's Tuesday night, April 7th, and we're sitting here in the stay-home type of safe situation, so not going out, pretty much stuck here at the house and the office and in the garage and doing things like that. So I hope you guys are all staying safe and well out there. And I know I've got a few friends that have been sick, and one specifically that has possibly picked up the virus, and hope them the best. Not going to say any names. And just kind of leave it at that. But if they're listening, you know, they know I'm talking about them. So what's going on with everything? Man, it's going to be tough. It's a tough year because nobody really knows what's going on. You know, you don't know what you can schedule, what you can't schedule, where you're going, what you're doing. So we're just kind of winging it and just waiting and seeing what happens. That I know I've had Ashmore shut down basically in the month of March, and we're not doing anything out there. Won't be doing anything out there until we get the all clear, and then I think it's still going to be a little scary, and just because we're just not still sure and what's going on, and it's something that I don't think is going to go away for a while. But enough of the bad stuff, so to speak. So let's get past that. But looking forward to talking to Rich Ballard tonight about Whispers Estate. Rich purchased Whispers not too long ago, and we'll talk about that and see what he's got planned out there, what he's doing with it. But hopefully, if you're listening, if you can go over to, if you have any questions for Rich tonight or myself, feel free to jump on the Facebook page, Where To Next, and you'll see my ugly mug sitting on top of Ashmore Estates, and then my ugly mug peering out the window at Ashmore Estates while we were putting windows into place. But we've got a link there. Just feel free to drop some questions that you might have about Whispers Estate, and be glad to see if Rich can answer those for us and kind of progress as the night goes on with things. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been to Whispers Estate, and I was supposed to a couple years ago and just couldn't get out there, and haven't had a chance to get out there yet. So as Rich will probably tell you, once you purchase a venue and you're working with one, you're pretty much strapped to it for a while. And we've got some great help out there now, and we've had great help in the past, and that's the only thing that keeps us going out there, because if it wasn't for that, I would have to close the place down, because I'm 2 hours away. I can't get back and forth that much to make sure things are done the way that we want them to. So you depend on the help, and that's always great to have great help out there. We've had a lot of paranormal friends that have came out and helped us throughout the year, and or the years since I bought that about 6 years ago, and it's been nice. And without them, we would not be where we're at today with the place. And got some new things planned out there, just updating some stuff, and hopefully we'll get our camera system that we're going to let people use out there soon, get that up and running so everybody can partake of that. And and you won't have to even bring cameras out there. You can pretty much like bring your thumb drive and pop it in there, dump your whole the night's worth investigation on that, and we can get it done. So just kind of working with that, working through the bugs a little bit, and we should have it up and running. So but let's bring Rich in, because I know I'm going to have a lot of questions for him, and I'm sure you guys might too if you pop him on our Facebook page and just have any questions you might want to ask. You know, just feel free to jump on Where To Next on Facebook and can post them in there. And if not, you can, you know, send me a text. If you got my number, just send me a text, and we'll see what we can do. So I think we got Rich here. Let's bring him in and see what's happening in Whispers Estate. Rich, are you with us?
Yeah. How you doing, Robin?
Not too bad. How are you doing, sir?
Doing great. Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's nice hearing from you, and it's a pleasure to meet you. I don't think I've ever actually met you in person at all, but so it's nice to be able to talk to you and find out a little bit more about you and Whisper Estate and the whole thing that's going on over there in Indiana.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to visit the Ashmore States last summer when I was a group of about six people. Just had an awesome visit, just great people out there. It's a very, very impressive building, and had a great time there. Collected some pretty interesting recordings and stuff. Just had a fantastic time. Didn't want to thank you for that.
Oh, great! Appreciate it. Yeah, it's nice to hear that you're out there, and hopefully I can get out the Whisper at some point in time here soon.
Sure, we'd love to have you.
So tell us a little about just about yourself, because I don't know you. Maybe everybody else in the paranormal world knows who you are, but I don't know really anything about you.
Oh, I hardly doubt if many people know me in the paranormal world. I am a psychologist. I teach psychology at the high school and at a couple of local colleges here over in Indiana. I live over here in a suburb of Indianapolis, and I've been teaching psychology now for 23 years, and got myself involved psychic research with a friend of mine that taught over at IU, and through contact with him, 8-9 years ago, started finding myself more and more drawn to parapsychology, and then eventually doing some investigations with some other people, and have just really got very involved with it, particularly over about the last 6 or 7 years as more and more evidence has been collected. I went into this as an extreme skeptic, like many people. I thought most of this stuff is probably, could be debunked, and much of it can be debunked, of course. But boy, I tell you, I've experienced so many things over about the last 5 or 6 years that I have become pretty committed to continuing on as an investigator at other people's properties and facilities, and then, of course, in my own house now that I bought just a little bit over a month ago.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, so you're bringing a whole different aspect into it with the being the psychologist and everything, doing the paranormal side of things. I mean, that's got to be a kind of a different twist on things for you.
Yeah, I went to it with a heavy dose of skepticism, trying to approach it as with as much empirical research, and I would assume I probably went into it originally just to debunk more than to accept or to prove, but I've kind of joined the other team now, and I'm pretty excited about a lot of the things that I've experienced with my own little investigative group. I've got a little group of about 4 or 5 of us that we have been to quite a few of the places here in the Midwest. Been to the Bel Air House, and of course your facility. Been to the Benton Farm, the Monroe House. We've been to Waverly, of course, several times. So we're just trying to, hit as many attractions. I was very fortunate to go to the Villisca House out in Iowa last summer with some friends. I just had an amazing experience out there, and it got to the point with me that when I knew that the Whispers estate went up for sale, that I wanted to make sure that whoever bought it would probably keep it open for investigators, and I just decided at some point I didn't want to put that to risk, so that's one reason I went and purchased the home.
That makes sense. Yeah, in fact, you're around the Indy area. If you're not familiar with it, you have to check out Rhodes Hotel sometime. It's just north of Indianapolis.
Yeah, I've been to the Rhodes. I should have included that. I should have made a list of some of the places. Had a great visit at the Rhodes Motel. You're involved, with your charity there, which is just very commendable on your part, and you guys are doing great work. The Ashmore, the Rhodes Motel together, your Missing Limbs charity work is just very commendable and should be recognized and appreciated.
Oh, thanks. Mike Couch started that and done a great job with it. I'm just happy that I've been able to help him at times when he needs it. So I appreciate it. But yeah, it is a great charity, and Rhodes has been a big part of that.
Yeah, Mike is just a great guy. This is about as nice a person as you're ever going to meet anywhere, too. So.
Yeah, it's amazing that he runs around with me. So.
Well, on my end, I can't make a comment on that. You said, I would assume that, you know, often we are, you know, I tell my students often we're kind of judged by the company we keep, you know, not just what, you know, your parents and your grandparents probably told you. And I think often that ends up being very true. So if you're hanging out with Mike some, that probably is, you know, a testament what kind of a person you are as well.
Yeah, I keep him around. He's a good influence on me at times. It helps a little bit anyway, so.
Yeah, I need good influences around myself, you know, too. I find myself, you know, sometimes wanting to be with people that bring me up, that's for sure.
Yep. Yeah, I do the same thing. I've got a lot of friends like that as well. So, and initially, you basically, I mean, being a psychologist, is that reason you kind of got into paranormal, just to check it out and see what was going on with that?
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of a strange path. Like I said, I had been teaching at both the high school and college level. I've worked in therapy, counseling, and it was about 8 or 9 years ago, a good friend of mine who was involved in psychic research over in Bloomington, Indiana, at the IU over in the university, had kind of invited me over and he's since retired. He and his wife living in Florida, and I went in, like I said, as a big time skeptic, as I guess many people are. And the very first investigation I ever did with him, I saw some stuff that, you know, I tried to debunk it. And on the way home, you know how you put those things in your mind, and you're trying to think, well, what could that have been? What could that have been? But I keep coming back to the same conclusion on a lot of this stuff that it clearly. There is stuff going on everywhere, and I'm just very fascinated by it now. Just the natural curiosity that I have is just kind of overwhelming, and I'm one of those people right now that I can't seem to get enough of it. I don't know.
Yeah, at a CPA here at the theater that I own one night, and we were just, there were some high school friends, actually, him and his wife and another couple, and we were just kind of wandering around the theater and doing a little investigation, went back and listened to everything. And you know, a CPA, everything for him is black or white. There's no middle ground at all. And on the way home, he told his wife, he said, you know, I really don't believe in this stuff, but I cannot for the life of me figure out what we heard and what was going on there. So, yeah, it's kind of cool when you have skeptics that have figured things out on their own. I don't like to try to change a skeptic's mind. I'll let him do that himself. And, and that's what it sounds like happened with yourself. You just kind of fell right into it, and it's like, whoa, this is something here. So.
That's it exactly, and I certainly didn't have anyone, trying to change my mind. I was very... I didn't want to be a cynic. You know, a cynic is I tell my students not to be a cynic about anything because that means you're closed-minded. But, a healthy dose of skepticism can prevent you from being fooled or misled. And I went in as a skeptic, not a cynic. But like I said, probably like you and people who, are involved with this now, there's so much things – so much evidence, I should say, that is out there now. It just becomes harder and harder to refute, a lot of this stuff. And now we're getting some validation with near-death experiences and, some people who, brain neurosurgeons and stuff that are, kind of confirming that, there is a spiritual universe and a spiritual world and, the pure science that used to kind of dominate it, 20, 30, 40 years ago, I think it seems to be coming full circle where you're starting to see a lot of people in the scientific world starting to accept much of this.
Yep, no, I agree. And, I'm still skeptical on a lot of stuff, and I'm probably one of the world's worst when it comes to being a venue owner and people bringing me evidence, because if I can sit there and tell them this is exactly what I think you're looking at, I'll do it. And it kind of busts bubbles sometimes, and I even had people get mad at me, and you'll probably find out the same situation, because I don't agree with them. And I tell them, this is why I don't agree, because this is what you're looking at. It's a paint mirage or something. It's like, because at Ashmore, as you know, since you've been there, the paint's kind of missing in areas. And I said, you're looking at something that is basically from the paint that's fell off the wall or plaster that came off the wall. It's not paranormal, and they don't want to hear it.
Yeah. Well, I think on your end, I think that leads credibility for what you're doing and for your attraction out there is that, you know, you aren't trying to, convince people that everything that's happening out here is indeed, you know, some type of paranormal event. I mean, I think, once again, that I would assume it's a pretty solid foundation, you know, to operate off of. That, you know, there's a lot of things that can easily be debunked or some investigation or just some thought on your own part. You could probably debunk much of the things that occur. But clearly some stuff happened out there at Ashmore, some of the recordings we got, some voices we got. And, it was really a good visit. Even before you contacted me last week, our team has already talked about, you know, hopefully getting back out there, hopefully as long as everything kind of gets back to normal sometime this summer.
Great. Yeah, when Whispers came up for sale and it was kind of put out there that it was going to be sold, I don't know how many times I got tagged in posts and people send me messages that, you know, this is for sale, right? And I'm like, no, I've got enough going on. I don't need this and this problem and, you know, this problem with having another location to have to deal with. I said, no. I said, and I looked, and it's about 4.5 hours from me. And I'm like, no, just kept telling myself, no, I can't do this. And so when I heard somebody bought it, I'm like, thank you, because now I don't have to even think about it, and I don't get pressured anymore. So the big question people always ask me, so I got to ask you, is like, so why did you buy it?
Well, I had heard, and once again, lots of times you just hear rumor and innuendo, I had heard that there were a couple people, local people, who basically were wanting to buy the house and either close it down, as a paranormal attraction. Or there was one rumor that was very disturbing that some person wanted to buy the house and tear it down and actually put a parking lot there. And that really troubled me. Whether you accept, any of this is real, this is a very old Victorian house. It was probably built, their earliest records tell us it was probably built around 1894. And it is still very well preserved. Much of it inside looks quite a bit probably like it looked in the 1920s, 1930s. It's just the house. I have people go visit the house that have no interest in the paranormal and just fall in love with the house because, you know, it's just such a beautiful old home. And so that bothered me on that level. And it kind of lit the fire for me to just go ahead and do it myself. You know, I'm not a business person. My only goal for the home is to make it available to as many people who want to visit and, try to keep the whole thing in the black. So I'm not losing money hand over fist or, you know, it becomes that type of a stressful thing. And, you know, once again, with, everything being kind of closed down this month, we have lost, three different groups that were coming to visit had to postpone. And I'm like everyone else, not just in the paranormal world, but everyone that owns a small business or is trying to make ends meet. This is very stressful times for everyone.
Yeah, it's not a good time to purchase a location like this and then all of a sudden say, okay, yeah, you can't have anybody in it. So it's a little tough.
Yeah, it kind of blindsided me. I'm like everyone else. I'd heard, some small amount of news on it, and then it just kind of, snowballed there these last couple of weeks. But I think we're going to be okay. I've got enough people that are certainly interested in visiting the home, and I've got two great managers on the property. I heard you talking earlier that you have volunteers and people that really, with you living 2 hours away, you couldn't maintain your attraction without their help. And I'm in the same way. I've got a couple of wonderful ladies who help us, and they're always willing to be on site and do tours and just whatever needs done. They really have a commitment and a love to the home. So I'm not quite as bad situation as you are. I'm only about 1 hour and 10 minutes from my home, so I can get down there a little bit quicker than you. But once again, I think I made 5 trips down there last week, and you know, when I was coming back that last trip, I was thinking, you know, this is a lot of windshield time. I just need to have a couple of days and I'll be behind the wheel of the car.
Yeah, I know. Excuse me, I know how that goes completely. I think for the first 2 years I bought it, I was like every weekend I spent the time I spent over at Ashmore from Friday until Sunday night and just working on stuff, because unlike Whispers, it was a mess. So, you know, you're fortunate now that Whispers is in pretty decent shape and everything. So that's a big plus. And like I said, you got a couple of days that are helping you. That's even better yet. So it works out great.
Yeah, I have several former students who, you know, over the last 4 years, I've been, as a high school teacher, I've been taking field trips over there on Friday evenings. I'd take a group of about 12 kids, and me and another one, a teacher that's very interested, that's a partner of mine, and his name is Brad Martin. He's, just one of these people, a tech person that can kind of fix and do anything he wants. He's got a background in engineering. We've been taking kids over there for about 4 years. It is wildly popular with our high school students, and, they have to take my psychology class, of course. And after these kids graduate, I have probably at least 7 or 8 of them now that have already contacted me saying they will come and help anything I need done, painting. I've got quite a few volunteers that seem very committed into, you know, keeping the house, in tip-top shape and keeping things running in a positive direction. So I do feel very blessed to have that situation available to me.
Yeah. Sounds like great. You get a nice student base that you can to get over there and help do some things, and you know, extra credit never hurts in school these days, so it's always a plus.
The kids, I will tell you, I don't know what your experiences are with young people at Ashmore, but before I even bought the house, over the last few years, the owner, he'd say, you know, you bring these kids in here, and it just seems to really, their energy and their youth and enthusiasm just really seems to wake up the house. And, you know, every time I've taken a group of students over there, the house has just been extremely active for, you know, that night and then often 2, 3, 4 days after that, where the energy just seems to really stir things up there. It's pretty exciting.
Yeah, we actually do a kids' day a couple times a year. We had one scheduled for May 2nd. We canceled that one just because it's too close to try to make it all work right. So we canceled that one out. But we'll do another one in October. And I have a group that comes in, and we donate all the money to Lost Limbs. But having the kids in the building is great. And then we've actually had the high school. We had 90 kids in the building one time that they came in and took tours of the place and all that. And it was bizarre, you know. And the kids are great. In fact, they contacted me. They want to come out and do some projects out there in February to help us out with some stuff. I'm like, it's too cold. We can't, you know. like no. She's like, well, we'll bring buses about. I'm like, I'd love to do that, but it's just gonna be too cold. So tell us exactly where is Whispers Estate?
It's in Mitchell, Indiana. We're just about, if you know where Indianapolis is, we are about probably, I'm guessing, about 80 miles on Highway 37, just due south of Indianapolis. We're about 30 minutes south of Bloomington, Indiana, where the University of Indiana is. And the house itself, you just turn into Main Street off of Highway 37. You go down to 9th Street and you take a right, and there we are. We literally are only about 2 miles probably off the highway there. So it's very easy. It's very easy access. And Mitchell is just a very small Midwest town, kind of quiet. Everyone seems to mind their own business, but people, you know, my experience is limited as they are. Everyone seems very friendly there. And matter of fact, a few years ago when I had a group of students in a bus, we were getting off the bus, and I had two young police officers kind of pull up, and one of them had grown up in Mitchell, and he said, you know, my whole life I've heard this is a haunted house. He said, but you care if me and my partner came in with you? And I said, well, of course. So they were both young police officers, probably in their, I'm guessing, mid to late 20s, and they went in the house with us, and we went up into the second story, up into Jesse's room. And we hadn't been there more than about 5 minutes, and that closet door just swung open and made the loudest noise. And One of those police officers looked at me, so that's enough for me. I can handle it. I can handle someone who, is drunk and disorderly or, domestic stuff. He says, but I've never been trained to handle this. He was visibly shaken up by it, but their visit lasted about 30 minutes. But once again, it was kind of neat having a couple young police officers come in the house with my students.
Oh yeah, it's always fun to have the officers come in because they bring a different perspective to things and all. Plus, they're familiar with the house that way too, so that makes it kind of nice. And that way, that you can count on them down the road if you have to. Although they may never go back into it after they've had experiences like that, but but they might show up anyway.
Yeah.
So, Mitchell, Indiana. I mean, if people come to the to Whispers and all, is there hotels and restaurants close by or?
Oh yeah. Well, the French Lick is just down the road, and so is Paoli, just south of us, about 15 minutes. And then Bedford is only 9 miles north of us, and Bedford has several motels right there on the right off of Highway 37. So, even though we are a small town, we're not very isolated. Like I said, French Lick has the huge casino down there, and there's two or three really nice motels. And as a matter of fact, I've had a group already tell me they're planning on coming this summer, and they're going to go to the casino and have some fun and go spend the night in the motel, and then the next day they're going to come and visit us. So a lot of people, I think, probably make that double visit, because it is such a nice casino and a nice facility down there as well.
Yeah, it's always nice to be able to come to the location, but then same time, to kind of get away and do something else maybe in the area if you're going to be there anyway. So that works out pretty nice.
Yeah, we're not very isolated. Even though Mitchell itself is small, there's quite a bit around us.
The history of the place. I mean, we know it's a house that's well over 100 years old, but what kind of history is behind it? Is there any particular ties to the community about this home?
Well, you hear the folklore that surrounds a lot of these places, but the previous owner had did an enormous amount of research, and the gentleman that owned the house before him had also did some research. So there's been a lot of this stuff validated, whether they were looking at microfilm on old newspapers and talking to locals who grew up and remember a lot of this stuff, but. It's believed that the house was built around 1894. That's kind of the earliest record. One source tells us that in 1901, a gentleman by the name of Dr. John Gibbons and his wife Jessie, we know they did purchase the house in 1901. Dr. John set his practice up in the house. Jessie and Dr. John... It appears that for some reason they were never able to have children of their own, and there is records that they adopted children. And probably the real story behind the house gets started with one little girl they adopted. Her name was Rachel, and Rachel in 1912 on Christmas Eve had, as the story goes, had kind of snuck downstairs to see what she had underneath the tree, as kids probably have done for decades now. And no one knows for sure exactly what happened, but there is a belief that somehow or another she knocked the tree over on her, or she brushed up against the candle. We do know back then they did, they would decorate trees with candles. Regardless of what, somehow or another her gown caught on fire and she did sustain second, third degree burns on her body. And Dr. Gibbons, being a doctor, I think the closest hospital might have been Bloomington, and I think he knew that there was really nothing they could have done for in a hospital. So as the story goes, he carried her upstairs to her room, kept her as pain-free as he could with probably morphine, and then I think a couple of days later she passed away in the house. They had a second child, a 10-month infant named Elizabeth, who died in the house a couple years later. No one really knows the causes of that. And then the doctor's wife, Jessie, died in the house of pneumonia. And this is kind of where, the doctor, it appears, starts to with all the tragedy in his life, kind of go the wrong direction, where, you know, he starts acting pretty bizarrely, and there's an inquest about his insanity, or about his sanity, I should say, and I think by the time it's all said and done, he is allowed to stay in the house, but I don't think his medical practice is no longer, you know, functioning, and then he will pass away in the house himself. And that seems to be the source, what many people feel, of the paranormal phenomena that occur in the house. That's one of the major sources. I know in Rachel's room, it's not uncommon to, you know, if you're recording, you might get an EVP. You'll get the voice of a child giggling. There have been people who, you know, lots of people who have sworn to have seen the little girl in the house walking in the hallways. I know in Jesse's room, and I've experienced this myself. One night, my son and I had stayed after a group had left, and we were very tired, and we were just basically up in Jesse's room, kind of laying down. There's a nice bed up there, and my son woke me up and said, "Dad, can you hear that?" And sure enough, there was some really heavy, labored breathing coming out of the corner. And many people who visit the house will say they will hear breathing and experience tightness in their own chest, problems breathing in the room. So that, you know, that's kind of the source of a lot of this. Now, as the story goes on with the house, you know, different families have lived there. Other people have died in the house. There's just all types of stories, some of them, I think, being pretty easily validated. Some of them maybe being more about folklore, you know, folklore was around a haunted house. And nevertheless, you know, when people visit there, I think there tends to be three or four things that people, you know, will report when it comes to the little girl, or, you know, hearing the breathing in the room. And some people will, you know, women in general in Dr. Gibbons' examination room, it's not uncommon to have them physically assaulted, scratched, hair pulled, pushed, lots of physical activity in the house. As a matter of fact, I was just there Saturday night with some friends of mine, and we were up in Jesse's room, and one of the young ladies just got slammed up against the wall, and she pulled her shirt down a little bit, and it looked like someone had just punched her in the chest. She had a big red splot right in the middle of her chest, and she swore that someone had just, felt like someone just pushed her or punched her real hard. So there has been some aggressive stuff in the house. A lot of it is not aggressive. It's very playful and almost like, you know, more like a poltergeist, where it will move stuff, chairs will move, doors will open, your typical haunted house stuff, right? And but there has been some stuff in the house that has been extremely aggressive. And like I said, my experiences with groups and students that I brought there, it almost seems to be usually centered around females, and there is a belief that that might be something to do with the doctor, because there had been rumors and innuendo that there towards the end he was, you know, touching female patients inappropriately and that type of thing. So once again, you have to wonder what is, you know, how much truth is there. But at the same time, I can tell you, I've personally seen a lot of women, young girls, teenage girls and adult women scratched on the back, scratched on their neck. I probably have over 40 or 50 pictures of people who've been scratched, and they typically, probably about 80% of the time, it typically ends up being females.
Yeah, just to throw a different twist on that with the females and the situation that, because you mentioned that he was supposedly was inappropriately touching females, I had a situation with another location that she was told the same thing about a gentleman that was there, something along the same line. And she's like, "I couldn't prove it, but that's what I was told." So I said, "Well, what if he actually didn't do it, and he's just mad because everybody says he does it, and he can't prove it now? You know, nobody can prove it. He can't prove his innocence." And so I'm thinking, what if that doctor actually, if he doesn't like it that when women come there, because they all say that they've been inappropriately touched, and he had to close his practice because of something like that. So he's thinking negative towards the women just because he's had such bad experiences.
Yeah, I mean, that is, I think that's very plausible. I know I took I don't know how familiar you are with Joy Lee. She's a psychic who, she's been on television. She's pretty darn good. She's an elderly lady. And a few years ago, some friends of mine just, we contacted her and just wanted to know if she wanted to do something for us. We didn't even tell her where she was going. We met her in Indianapolis, and so she couldn't research the house or anything. She thought she was going somewhere in Indianapolis, and then we took her down to Mitchell. Took her about an hour out of the town, a little bit over an hour. And when she went into the Whispers Estate, I took her back to the doctor's waiting room and the examination room, and she immediately said that there was an angry male presence in the room, and she sensed it almost immediately. And she had no idea that there had been supposedly been a doctor with a practice there. She didn't know that at all, but that's the first thing she said when she walked in the house. When we walked back there, that she sensed a very, very angry male presence that, she could just tell it was not pleased. So I think that, you know, whether it's because of the unfair accusations against him or maybe the actual act that he was possibly responsible for, it's pretty fascinating. When I explain it to visitors, I just say allegedly. I said he was never convicted of anything. He was never arrested for anything. There were just always allegations. And once again, you know, it's always good to, you know, I think we should always assume that someone is innocent until they're proven guilty. And in his case, he was never proven guilty for anything like that. At least there's no record of anything.
Yeah, that's what this lady actually went up and apologized in the room and said that, you know, there's nothing that says that you actually did this, and I'm sorry that I've talked about this with the group because I can't prove it, and I won't do that anymore. And she said ever since she's done that, she's like, it's been really quiet in that room as far as nothing's been bothering her. And she's like, I couldn't even walk in that room before because I felt so nauseous and everything going in that room, like there was something there that didn't want me there. She's like, it's not there anymore. She's like, I don't have that problem walking in there now because I don't bring that up anymore about the negative stuff. So always, you know, there's always different twists with stuff, especially when we can't prove it one way or the other, what's going on, unless there are some documentation.
Yeah, and I think that a lot that adds to, you know, the lure of many of these places is, you know, what do we know historically? What is rumor? What is this grown up as folklore? You know, people embellish everything, and it's just human nature to do that. So it's just one of the things that keeps me coming back to these places. I just am fascinated by the history of most of these places. I know the Ashmore Estates there, the history of that place is just fascinating. Just quite amazing, really.
So how big actually is the house there?
It's roughly 3,700 square feet. There is a first floor, there is a second story, and then the previous owner had opened the attic up and had basically begun the process of finishing the attic out. There are three rooms up there now, and while he was working up there, he was up there by himself, and coming down the attic stairs, he said, he tells a great story that he felt like a really cold air behind him, and it was like in June, and there was no air up there, trust me, at the time anyways. And he said the next thing you know, he was, on the bottom of the stairs, and he has a big gash in his head. I can't remember how many stitches he got. And the attic was never finished after that. As a matter of fact, the previous owner, I think he got to the point where he really never really liked to go in the house by himself because it seemed to be very aware of his presence. I think he always struggled being in the house by himself.
So with the house there, people can investigate most of the house, or is there anything like closed off or that's locked up?
No, the entire house is open. There's a basement, a lot of activity in the basement. We have, I've personally seen a table lift up off the floor in the basement when no one was near. That was pretty unnerving. It's one of the first things I witnessed in the house that took me aback when I seen it. I just had never seen a table, just a little card table, but it literally lifted up off the floor and no one was in about 6 or 7 feet of it. And there's really no part of the house. Up in the servants' quarters, there was one little area where the floor There must have been some water get in the house when it was unoccupied. I think the house sat idle for maybe around 15 years with no one living in it. And the floor does look like it's weak, so we have got that little area. It's just like a little tiny part of that second floor servants' quarters where we do have that kind of roped off. We don't want anyone walking over there and falling through it. But as far as that, the rest of the house is open. There's nothing that, you know, visitors aren't given access to. Typically, you know, I know when I go to these places, after I get my tour and the history and what to expect in the house, I kind of like to be turned loose, and that's kind of what our philosophy is here. When you come to the house, whoever is there to meet you will give you a quick tour of the house, and then it's your home for the rest of the night. And we get out people's way and let them investigate the house.
Yep, that's the way we like to do it too. Just let people kind of go out on their own and do what they want to do and how they want to do it. So now, is the house heated, cooled, or?
Yes, the house is heated. We are in a process right now of putting air conditioning up in the attic area because I've been there with an adult group a couple summers ago in July, and you could not stand to be in that attic much more than about 5 minutes. So one of the first things I committed to do when I bought the house is get some air conditioning ducts up there in the attic, and we hope to have that done probably by the end of this month. Once again, at that point, the entire house will have heating and air conditioning, so it will be a year-round place that you can investigate in relative comfort. The house is furnished. There are couches, chairs, beds to lie on. We don't have a problem with people lying on the bed. Our only thing is we don't really want people getting up under the cover or anything with shoes on and that kind of thing. But once again, if you want to lay across the bed, two or three people, one of the beds in Jesse's room, it's an enormous bed. I think five adults could probably lie on the thing. And, you know, there's furniture everywhere, and people are welcome to sit and make themselves as comfortable as they can. And like I said, my first goal was to get air conditioning up in that attic area because, you know, in the summer you really couldn't spend much time up there. So looks like that's going to happen, so we're very excited about that.
Now, do you let people spend the night there also, or?
Yes, the investigation goes from 8 at night till 6 in the morning. Like I said, it's not a bed and breakfast or anything like that, but I'm assuming if you wanted to bring a sleeping bag and, lay on top of one of the beds and sleep for a little while, I certainly don't have a problem with that. Most people who visit the house, I can tell you from experience, sleep is not something most people entertain very much in this house. Most people don't really feel comfortable enough to try to sleep. I have seen some people fall asleep on the couches, but most people, the house has a strange effect on most people who walk in it. I know the first time I walked into Whispers Estate, and it's been about 5 years ago, I almost felt like I was being watched the whole time I'm in there. And to this day, when I go in that house, it's almost like something's watching me. It's the oddest feeling, and it's there's only a couple places that I have really felt that, and this home is clearly that's. As a matter of fact, I had a group of friends over there Saturday night, and one of the young ladies, she couldn't make it. After about 2 hours, she was so affected by the house and was convinced that something was behind her the whole time that she had to leave early, you know. And I was trying to console her and calm her down, but she, after a couple things happened, she was done.
Yep, that happens. That people aren't thinking that something's going to happen. All of a sudden, it does, and they don't know what to do after that. Now, do you guys do you have like public investigations and tours of the home set up also?
In the past, the previous owner had done public investigations. They have something over here in this area called the Persimmons Festival, and I assume I will go forward with that. I haven't given that much thought. I think that's in October, late September, early October, where they open up to the public and people can come in with quick, I think they're like hour-long tours of the house where they just call it a mini flashlight tour where they take people and give them the history of the house, let them walk through it and all that good stuff. So that, you know, we're going to continue on with that as well. But that, you know, that's so far in the future right now. I haven't had much chance to even consider, you know, what that's going to look like. I don't think I'm going to change anything because I think it's been, you know, wildly popular with the community and people in the area. And I, you know, I certainly don't want to deprive that tradition of people, you know, that's what they like to do with the house.
Yeah, the more you can do to keep the locals happy, the safer you're going to be. Trust me.
Oh yes. You don't want to make enemies in small towns, do you?
No. In fact, when I bought the place, the person I bought it from, I guess he had just messed some people over as far as making payments and things like that. And when I bought it, it was pretty much like I walked into the rental place and they're like, okay, well, you have to pay for everything up front. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And they're like, yeah, and I have to make sure your credit card's good. I'm like, okay, that's fine. And so they're going through all this, and it was like it was a nightmare. And then finally, after about three or four trips there, they're pretty much like, yeah, just come pick it up anytime you want, and, you know, drop it off. You know how to drop it off back there. Just take it, and, you know, just bring it back whenever you need. If we're closed, don't worry about it. And, you know, because they realize that this isn't like the other guy. So, you know, that was the problem that I ran into.
Yeah, you have to build positive relationships with people, I think, no matter what endeavor you have. I know you have your little cabins there on your property, and those are just amazing. Those are just wonderful. It's just a great idea on your part where people can, you know, take a break and, you know, if you rent one of the cabins, you can go in there. They're comfortable. They're clean. I mean, I was just so impressed with your facilities there. It was just it was very well done.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, in fact, actually, last year we started including those in our overnight investigation. So, you know, you rent the place basically from 7 p.m. until 10 a.m., and that included the use of the little bunkhouse cabins out there as well. So, yeah, it was just something we decided to do, and it's worked out really well.
Yeah, it is awesome. I was so impressed with that.
So do you have any special rules that you require groups to follow or that they can't use or any equipment, anything like that out there?
You know, I think most of, you know, I think most of the people who are in this type of endeavor, our rules are pretty similar, I believe, to yours. You know, you have to sign a waiver, and, you know, we don't want any alcohol, obviously, or drugs on the premises. No firearms, of course. And other than that, I don't have any issues with cameras. You know, I encourage people to be respectful. The spirits in the house or whatever is in that house. I know I from personal experience, I've been with people who go to some of these places and intentionally provoke and are disrespectful. And it just rarely has what I would call a positive result. So I'd highly encourage people, you know, if they come to my house or if you're doing this, most people who do this seriously know better. But if you are, you know, coming to the Whispers Estate, that you remember that it is it's a very old house with a great history and great traditions, and you know, you would treat it as such.
Now, the one thing that I always get people ask me about if they can use it, and a lot of places don't want them. Some do, some don't. You know, they just they're open minded. Some don't want them touching them at all. But Ouija boards, do you allow Ouija boards in there?
Yeah, we have Ouija boards everywhere in the house. You know, I've kind of went into the Ouija board thing years ago as just a toy and all that good stuff. My attitude about the Ouija board now is I think it's just another means of communication, whether, you know, whatever you're using, whether it's a spirit box or whatever you're using, dowsing rods. I mean, I think just the Ouija board, my opinion, is probably, you know, most of it is revolved around intent. What do you want to get out of the Ouija board? But I certainly don't have a problem with the Ouija board at all. I've seen it work. I remain pretty skeptical lots of times when I see the Ouija board working. I think with my training in Gestalt psychology, the brain will often fill in missing parts. And I think sometimes, you know, there's a psychosomatic thing going on with the Ouija board, psychocognition, where people aren't even aware they're moving it, but they are. You know, it's kind of like blinking your eyes. You don't think about blinking your eyes, but you're blinking your eyes, you know. So I'm not trying to, challenge the authenticity of it. And I know many religious people, many people in the paranormal world say you don't play with those things and be very careful if you do. And I would just caution anyone, if you are going to mess with any type of communication, to do so respectfully and, understand that there's risk to anything. And I would certainly think the Ouija board is, falls in that category. And when you start making movies about it and stuff, once again, Hollywood gets a hold of some of this stuff and, it turns it into something that maybe, it rarely is.
Right. No, I actually agree 100% with you. I've got probably 20 or 30 of them myself, so I've never had a problem with them. In fact, people kind of freak out when they ask me, they're like, can we use one? I'm like, yeah, I don't care. They're like, oh, wow, because all places won't let us. I'm like, it doesn't bother me.
I got very lucky that I had a couple of students donate a really old Parker Brother Ouija boards. I think Hasbro makes them now, which is a toy company. And I got a couple of Parker Brother Ouija boards. One's a 1952, and I think one's a 1967. And I've got those in the house, and they are really, you can tell the difference between the old ones and the ones they make now. They certainly seem to have a different feel about them. So those are in the house, and people are certainly welcome to use them. I provide some equipment for people who are more novice about this. I have some K2s. I have a couple of REM pods. So I do provide people with some stuff that, might not come with equipment. But, many of our groups that come, particularly for the all-night stuff, many of these people take this, very serious, and they show up with their equipment, and, they're all business, which, I think the great thing about your facility, and, of course, mine as well, is you don't have to be an expert. You can just come to these places and have a great time and experience it, or you can come and be very serious and try to collect as much, data and evidence as you want. So, I want to make sure that anyone comes to Whispers Estate, you don't have to be, trained or, real experienced. You can just be your very first place you ever go. Just often all I ever do when I go to any of these places is take a flashlight and a little handheld recorder. That's all usually about the only equipment I ever take with me anyways.
Yeah, I always tell people, just bring a flashlight. If you got your phone, just use that as a, go to the voice memos and you can just record even on your phone. So, you always have something with you that you can use.
Yeah, and if you don't, sometimes what I have found, if I don't have my recorder on or something happens, and I would have liked to have got a recording of that. So, it's a classic Murphy's Law with that, so it's always great to have some type of recording device with you, I believe.
So anything new coming up in 2020, hopefully this year yet, that maybe hasn't been done in the past that you plan on doing?
Well, we have some pretty exciting ideas. Both my Sandra and Gwen, my two managers of my property, they met with me and gave me a whole list of things they have thought about doing, wanted to do in the past, and I've got some ideas that I have brought forth. We are going to try some things different. I like the idea of getting some of the national known people. I'd like to get some nationally known people to visit, and many have, but I wouldn't even mind, having some of them do some presentations, some type of, workshop or people who really have an interest in this to get to, to sit and listen to Steve Huff talk or someone like this. And I know many of these people are so busy and everyone wants them that, on my end, I'm just going to make available, the offer to anyone that wants to come, if they want to film or whatever they want to do. So we are hoping to get some people in that, do have some name recognition. So some people, like myself, who have been doing this for a number of years, it would be, I think, exciting and nice to meet some of the people with a little bit more of a celebrity profile that have done this enough that, they're known for it. We have something that they had done a few years ago, and they never pursued it. They only done it once, what they call it Dr. Gibbons quarantine, and that's kind of a timely topic right now. We were just talking about this last week where a few years ago, on their Facebook, they said they were looking for 3 volunteers to come in the house, and they're basically going to be in the house by themselves, one on a different floor, And it's kind of almost like an escape room thing. It just kind of sounds like a lot of fun, but at the same time, you're in a pretty well-known paranormal house, with a lot of paranormal activity. So they had done that and filmed it and said it was really very good. But I can't remember what they said, why they didn't pursue it. I don't know if the owner at the time didn't want to put the time and effort in making that something you did. I personally would watch that if you filmed it and had three people in a haunted house on different floors and with very limited contact with anyone else, just to see, what they might experience. It kind of sounds interesting to me. There's things like that that we discussed doing. We were kind of hoping to have, maybe some type of invitation where we can get owners like yourself and other people maybe to come to the house and just have a huge gathering of paranormal people, and just, I know other places do this, but not like a national convention or something, but maybe just, get some people who are, also owners and, have things to share and advice to give people. So, on my own end, I'm new to this, so I've got a lot of people, who have suggested stuff, and I'm just trying to sort through things that I think are tangible and certainly relevant and worthwhile.
Yeah, that all sounds great. If if you run anything or have any questions with anything, or just feel free to reach out to me, because I've even though I own locations, I don't think there's a competition. So I've never thought that, and a lot of my friends that are venue owners would tell you the same thing. That, in fact, I'll need to get some of your, some flyers or something like that, so I can put it out at Ashmore, because I got a whole rack that I put out there with everybody's stuff. But we're going to run out of time here pretty quick. But how can people reach out to you, and how do they find out about Whispers Estate and how to contact you?
Well, our website is simply one word, whispersestate.com. And if you go there, it's a fairly new website. We have just kind of over the last 3 or 4 weeks kind of taken the old website and tried to update it and, add stuff. So all the contact information as regards to info about the house. So there are pictures there, some video there. Of course, contact information and reservations, all that stuff is there. People that want to, visit us. We are open, hopefully here soon. We will be open 7 nights a week. And like I said, we give people the house from 8 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning. And that's probably the best thing to do right now. We do have a Facebook page as well. If you go to, just type in Whispers Estate on Facebook, it will take you right there. And there's a lot of dialogue and comment with, as people often do on Facebook. So, but the website is probably the best way to contact us if you're interested in a visit.
So, yep, that's great. Then they can get things all figured out and check out with there and come out and visit you. So, Rich, I appreciate you coming out tonight. And I know we're kind of like locked down. We're really too much right now anyways. There's not a whole lot else to do, but I appreciate it. And hopefully soon we'll be able to get back out to these locations and enjoy them like we've been enjoying them all throughout the last few years.
Yes, I agree completely. And it's been my pleasure. Like I said at the beginning, I really enjoyed visiting your place out there. It's just a wonderful facility, and planning on trying to get back out there this summer.
Great. Appreciate it. Have a wonderful night, and stay safe.
Okay, sir. You too. Thank you.
Thanks. All righty. Bye. Well, that was Rich Ballard with Whispers Estate. And check it out on Facebook, Whispers Estate, and their website, whispersestate.com. And they've got information on there and a lot of information and how you can get investigations and all. And don't wait too long. These venues, right now, everybody's pretty much shut down. And they're not allowing people in. So don't wait until everything clears over to pick a date to go to these places, because everybody's going to do the same thing. And so you're going to lose out. So find if you're going to a location or you want to go to a location, get your name in there now on their open dates, because these dates are going to fill up, especially weekends, and you don't want to miss out. Public investigations the same way. If you're thinking about buying tickets for public investigations, do it now rather than waiting till later. I know at Ashmore, and I imagine most locations also, if we're shut down because of something from the state, you know, we're either going to reschedule your investigation or refund the money if we have to, or look for other public investigations for you. So we're going to make it work. But I appreciate everybody listening tonight, or if you couldn't hear tonight, hopefully you'll catch it on the archives and do that as well. So it's a tough life right now we're in, but hang in there. We'll get through it and move on. Stay safe, everybody. Thanks much for listening. Have a great night, and be safe. Thank you.